Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday.
Jaguars Thursday.
JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, and Tony Baselli bring you the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Jaguars Thursday is brought to you by Baptist Health and Everbank.
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
Jaguars Thursday, driven with SunPass, begins right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, Jaguars Thursday. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli at some point. Jaguars Broncos coming up Sunday at Everbank Field, a home game for the Jags. Logs, what's up, man? How are you?
It's all good, man. It's all good. I'm excited because tonight I am going to eat a little flank steak, rice bowl, have a little ice cream with some crushed up candied pecans from the wife. And then I'm going to sit in front of the TV, and if there was a way to listen to Baselli on Westwood One, I would turn the television volume down and listen to him.
And probably work that out. I don't know if it's on in town.
And I've tried to do that. I've tried to find the game broadcast of Westwood One on phone, internet. I don't know. Maybe I'm just dumb.
Maybe.
When it comes
I don't want to say it. You might be.
Can't figure it out.
I don't want to go there.
But hey, look, I'm gonna watch that game tonight. It's the Dallas Cowboys, Minnesota Vikings. It's a great rushing football team against a Minnesota Vikings team that is pretty stout on defense and pretty tough news for the Minnesota Vikings coach Mike Zimmer.
Yeah, he was going to watch the game at home. He had an eye surgery, but he can't even watch the game. He's got to listen on the radio.
Yeah, they actually – that's kind of an interesting proposition.
How about
that? He was – actually, they were going to put off – he's got some type of issue with his retina. I don't know if it was detached or partially torn. And they were going to wait until tomorrow, Friday, to do the surgery. And they couldn't wait. They had to do it yesterday. Was it yesterday they did the surgery or today? Yesterday or today?
Or this morning, one of the two.
You know, so a tough go of it, and I hope everything works out well for him.
Yeah, we'll get to that game coming up with Big Bo when we get him on the line tonight. The Jags offense against the Broncos defense. That should tell the tale of this game on Sunday. It's a tough matchup for this Jaguars offense against. You know, I called him on a show the other day on Jaguars.com Live, the best, number one defense in football. Well, statistically, no, they're like fourth or whatever. But in reality, they're right there. They've proven it in the big stage last year in the Super Bowl, and they're playing at a high level still this year. They have playmakers all over the field.
And they lost players.
And they lost guys. There's one of them sitting here in this locker room.
Yeah, who's one of the Jaguars' best players defensively, Malik Jackson. They lost Danny Trevathan.
Trevathan.
And then I thought they lost one other guy on defense, and I can't remember who it is. But anyway, they've got some really good players. Von Miller is – you know what I wanted to see happen? I wanted to see Von Miller get the free agency. And for two reasons.
Yeah.
One, I wanted to see the Jaguars have an opportunity at getting him, number one. And number two – I wanted to see how much money the Jaguars would have had to pay to get him.
Big number.
Because, I mean, the Broncos had to pay him a bunch of money. But if he got the free agency.
You got a bidding war and all this.
There's no telling how much money he would have made. And Ndamukong Suh's contract would have paled in comparison to what he would have been paid.
And you know what? He's playing above and beyond even last year, I think, right now, right?
You know, the best part about him, JP, and from watching him on film, and I talked about Justin Houston with the head coach, Justin Houston and also Von Miller in that game Sunday night. Mm-hmm. When you watch the two of them in this game, they were clearly the two best defenders on the field, hands down. But, you know, the reason that they're – one of the reasons why they're the best defenders on the field is that they play run – pass rush, coverage.
They do it all.
Whatever they get asked to do, they play it at a very high level.
There was one play, and I didn't watch the entire game, but the part I watched before I went to sleep that night, I'm getting old, was Miller went back in coverage. There was a pass out to the right.
Flat to Tyreek Hill.
And he just crushed the guy. It was unbelievable.
And it's Tyreek Hill now. We're not talking about a tight end. in the flat or a fullback in the flat. We're talking about Tyreek Hill.
Tackle in space on one of the fastest guys in football.
And Tyreek Hill is dynamic. I mean, very dynamic player. And Von Miller settled his hips, stayed outside leverage, and then just ate him up.
Let's go to Minneapolis, Minnesota, a brand-new stadium there. The Minnesota Vikings tonight welcome the Dallas Cowboys, and Westwood One Radio is there to cover it, including analyst Tony Vaselli. Good evening, Tony.
How you doing?
Doing great. We're talking Broncos defense, starting, of course, with Von Miller. So I will ask the Hall of Fame semifinalist, left tackle, how would you block Von Miller?
Very carefully. I would, if it was me, I would I'd vertical set him inside out, and when he wanted to go speed to power, I'd adjust. That's how I'd block him. I'd block him like I did Derek Thomas, and just set deep. I would cut my, I would not take as big as angle as I probably typically would as far as widening the pocket, just knowing that my size and strength, I'd be able to handle any bull. And I got to take away the speed, but I still got to get vertical inside out because the spin move can come at any time. That's how I'd plan.
That spin move's killing.
And I'd hope that we were in good down and distance, and we ran the ball because I tried to beat the you know what out of them during the run game.
Yeah, and that's a critical point. When you play great pass rushers, one way to slow them down is to make them defend the run and run right at them, and tire them out. But Tony,
I try to get physical. I try to get physical with them. Try to get them on the ground. I'd lay on them. I would try to take his legs away from him because he is that spin move he has is really really good. But the speed, I mean, the speed never worried me. I was never afraid of anyone's speed, and so that wouldn't bother me. But the counter with the spin would be something I'd be painted. Attention to the entire game.
All right, well, Vaselli, you're not playing against Von Miller this week, and the Jaguars right tackle Jeremy Parnell has to block him for the most part because that's where stays at.
Yep.
If you were game planning with the Jaguars personnel, how would you block him in this game?
I would run someone at him every play. I'd either have a wing, a tight end. We saw them do that against the Houston Texans where one of the tight ends or a back would be lined up kind of in a wing position, almost an empty backfield, and would chip on the way out. I would slide to him if I wasn't going to do that with my guard, letting Jeremy know he has help inside, so set deep. And if you get beat with the spin, there's going to be someone to help you out. Or I'd run a back at him every play. I would never leave. If I was game plan, I would not leave very many, maybe never. I tried never to leave him one-on-one with Von Miller.
Which would not work very well. Now, and I got a question, another question for you. When we talk about helping out, when you talk about running a running back at him every play, we're not talking about the run game. We're talking about getting a chip, running back
chip
on
his shoulder into him on the way out.
As an offensive tackle, did you ever not like the chip? Did it ever mess you up as far as your set, or was it always an advantage to you to get the chip?
You know, it was different because we didn't really our rule when I was playing was the back would chip every once in a while. And so I was like, all right, if you can on your way out, take a look. And so it was never really a game plan. And so sometimes it would screw you up because you're not expecting it and they chip the guy into the play. If you know the chip's going there, it can help you out because you can set more inside. So there was times I remember Fred would be back there and say, I'm chipping this play. Then you know. Then I said, all right, that's easy. It's almost like a playoff. I'm just going to set heavy inside and take it away. But the one thing I would tell the backs and the tight ends, if they're ever going to chip to my side, I would say, listen, get out of my way. I'd rather you not even be around me if you're going to get near my legs or anything else. Chip and leave. Do not sit and get in the way of me setting because the worst thing I felt like is I'd be kick setting in that back or a tight end would get in my way and it would screw the entire thing up.
That's why I asked because a lot of times, I mean, there is an art to being a chipper. You know, when I say chipper, when a running back is coming out to get a piece of an edge rusher on his way out, some running backs don't know how to do it to stay away from an offensive tackle. And some backs are just absolute masters at it. Eric Bieniemy was one of the best.
What a name.
And he was phenomenal at it because he was not just trying to get a chip, he was trying to take a chunk. a chunk of your ribs on the way out. And he never interfered with the tackle when he did it. He made sure that the tackle was completely clean. But with that being said, and blocking Von Miller, on the other side, Tony, is DeMarcus Ware.
Boy.
He's got three sacks. We know that he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. He is going to climb.
Great player.
Yeah, he's a great player. Dallas Cowboys and the Broncos. I can't believe the Cowboys turned him loose, but they did. And he's been a great player for the Denver Broncos. He's got three sacks on the year, but he's only played in maybe five or six games, something like that. He's had a back injury. What do you think of him from watching him?
You know, Jeff, even in his heyday, he was a guy, and, you know, we talk about it. I watch him in kind of the first time I ever watch a player like that, I kind of think, what if I was playing him, what would I do? What would he – what kind of challenges would he face? Because he's taller and longer, I preferred to play guys like that because I'm tall, so it made it easier. Those short guys were always the problems for me. But he's a very good player. He's long. He understands how to rush. He does not have the same athleticism he did when he was younger, obviously, but he is a crafty guy, uses his hands well. But I would feel very confident if I'm Nathaniel Hackett going to this game that Kelvin Beachum will be able to handle DeMarcus Ware one-on-one in passing situations.
And then get some help on the other side with Von Miller.
That's right. I would slide everything. I'd slide everything to Jeremy Parnell. And if I'm not sliding that way, I got a back or a tight end sitting there the whole game. Why even let him get going? Take shots at him. Cut him early. I mean, I'd give him a lot of different looks. I'd run the zone away from him with the tight end peeling back and hitting him in the mouth as hard as I can, as many times as I could. I mean, you have to game plan Von Miller. He is their best defensive player in that front seven.
Former Jaguar Brandon Marshall is on this defense. How's he playing, guys?
He's a good player, you know, but I think if you take him out of that defense and you put him in another defense, is he a great player? No, he's a good player. You know, he's a fifth-round pick for the Jaguars. He could always run. I think that's his greatest advantage, is that he can run very well. You know, going all the way back to 2012 when he was a fifth-round pick and we watched him, I was like, you know, he plays the game like a safety. And with the way that the Broncos play defense, though, with Derek Wolfe and Williams in the middle, it allows him to run a little bit better. And, of course, the way the game is today, and the more it's become an open attack, you know, more of an air assault than anything else on the ground, you know, he's a good, solid football player. Is he a great player? No, he's not a great player.
Let me ask you this. This is the old chicken and egg thing a lot of times on defense. We know about the pass rush for the Broncos. Is the secondary for the Broncos good by themselves, or do they need that pass rush to be as good as they are?
Well,
could they stand alone anywhere else?
Good all by themselves.
Yeah, let me start first, Tony. If you take Aqib Talib and Chris Harris Jr. and put them with any other – and compare them to any other cornerbacks in the National Football League, you know, Gus said it on his show, he thinks it's the best tandem in the National Football League, and it's hard to argue that. Yes, it helps to have the pressure that they've had up front. But if Aqib Talib wasn't a character question mark, he would not have played for the New England Patriots, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the Denver Broncos. He would have been with one team. He would have been franchised and would have had a big contract all the time. But there's always questions about him and his character.
I mean, he shot himself, for goodness sake. That's all you have to say. I mean, come on. I mean, what else do you want to say? He shot himself in his leg.
That takes talent.
Yeah.
He's a great player. And Chris Harris is very good. The two of them, I agree with Jeff and Gus. I mean, it's as good a tandem as there is in this league right now. And with or without the rush, it's a great challenge for A-Rob and Marquise and the rest of the receivers who are going to be out there.
A reminder, this Sunday's Broncos-Jaguars game is brought to you by SunPass prepaid toll program. Visit sunpass.com. We'll come back more with Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman. How does the Jags defense stack up against the Broncos offense this week? And who's going to play quarterback?
Very well, I think.
Very well.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out how well when we return. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
The Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information.
How'd you like that?
Keep your hands on your own earphone controls, Logs.
You get a little loud there?
Yeah, a little loud. Getting loud. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman. Tony Boselli is at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis for Thursday Night Football. We'll get to that game coming up. One of the loudest places in the NFL all of a sudden with the new digs
it's
in
loud.
Minneapolis.
It's going to be loud. But you talk about a bad radio booth, Jeff.
Uh-oh.
Holy cow.
Where is it?
It's a new stadium. It can't be bad.
No, it's beautiful. It's very roomy and nice. But we are located not even in the end zone. We are... like in the very corner of the stadium,
like behind the end line.
Now there are.
Is it worse than Washington?
Well, yeah. There's. I'm going to tell people.
No, it's better than Washington because it's higher, so you can actually see the scoreboard.
Yeah, there's three stadiums that come to mind because you know when we broadcast games radio, you know, you always want to be somewhere around the 50. I mean, for Frank and other play-by-play guys to be able to call the game to get you know where the ball was spotted at, you got to have you know, some central location to be able to do that. The Pittsburgh Steelers, disappointingly enough, put the visiting radio's broadcast booth all the way to the end zone. The Washington Redskins tucked you all the way in the corner. And then the Dallas Cowboys also has you in a corner. But here's the best part about Dallas.
Watch the video screen.
Yeah, watch the big board.
The Dallas Cowboys, you got a suite that's kind of in the corner. Not in the corner, but it's way down away from the 50. But you got those big, giant video boards, and you're in this plush, luxury suite, which makes it okay.
Oh, well, that's all.
But Washington, Pittsburgh, am I missing anybody else that's got an end zone spot? Well, it's now Minnesota.
Add U.S. Bank to the list, Jeff.
Man, with a new stadium, I mean, come on.
They can sell the spot at midfield more than they can for the press. Right?
Well, you're selling
another
suite in broadcast too, JP.
Another suite in there. We'll get to that game coming up, but the Jaguars defense against this Broncos offense. They don't know who the quarterback's going to be. Sounds like Paxton Lynch more as the week goes on here with Simeon not on the practice field Wednesday or today. And he's only had a very limited amount of time, a young guy. Not that Simeon's an old guy, but a rookie going in if he plays on Sunday in Paxton Lynch. And this Jaguars defensive front against the O-line for the Broncos, how is that front? And it sounds like they haven't been able to keep Simeon upright a lot of the year.
They're just okay up front. You know.
No, they're not, Jeff. They're terrible.
I'm trying to be nice, you know. You know,
they're awful.
The right tackle position, they've got problems. Donald Stevenson and Ty Sambrylo have been alternating, and Sambrylo got ate up by Justin Houston. They pulled him out, put Donald Stevenson back in, and those guys have been kind of going back and forth. The center's a good player. Paredes, he's an okay player. Max Garcia at left guard, too aggressive. Schofield at right guard. Yeah, he's okay. And Russell Okung. You know, many people thought that he's a high draft pick, Seattle Seahawks guy, and has the talent, but for some reason, Tony, he just doesn't have the performance that kind of comes along with the high draft stature that he had.
Very inconsistent. At times he looks, you know, like the guy, and other times you're like, what in the heck is he doing? It's a group that struggles, and they weren't very good last year. They tried to upgrade it this year with Okung and the rest of the guys. They drafted Sambrylo 2 years ago as a second-round pick. But they just haven't performed very well. And this Bronco team wins because they play great defense. They don't turn it over. I mean, if you look at the two teams, the Jaguars and the Broncos' defense is better because of Von Miller. But statistically, it's not that big a difference. And the biggest difference of these two teams right now that has led to the difference in the record is performance on special teams and turnovers. That's the difference. And so if they can come out and play good defense like they have been, not turn the ball over and be solid on special teams, it's going to be a very close game.
A low-scoring game, sounds like.
Well, not a lot of points in this game.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, it's probably going to be, my guess,
20 to 13.
34, 35 points total. Yeah.
you know, and maybe I'm wrong. I mean, maybe the Jaguars go out. Look, I mean, Kansas City Chiefs put a lot of points up on the board against the Denver Broncos now.
But late, and they did it. They did it in different ways. They had a safety. They had the punt, the return for a touchdown.
Yeah, after the free kick,
off the safety. Yeah, so they had I mean, and they scored late in that game. They did nothing the entire game until late. And you know that happens in the NFL. But you look at, I mean, these two, and people listening are like, come on, how are these two teams similar? Go look at the statistics. Outside of turnovers and special teams, they are very similar.
Who's Jalen Ramsey shadowing this week?
If I put him on Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, just because of Demaryius Thomas's size. You know, Emmanuel Sanders is a shorter player, 5'11", whereas Demaryius Thomas 6'3", so I'd want to have Jalen's height match up against height. You know, but I don't know if you could say that Demaryius Thomas is more dangerous than Emmanuel Sanders. You watch that game Sunday night. Emmanuel Sanders was the guy that was getting deep balls, and he can run. He can run. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch.
Jeff, I'd put him on Demaryius just because Demaryius is going to be outside more. Keep, you know, that way it's, I think, easier alignment-wise. And as Todd Walsh is calling the defense and the coverages, you know that, you know, on regular personnel, that Emmanuel Sanders will be outside. But he'll come inside in the slot during their 11 personnel and nickel. And Demaryius is outside the entire time. So I think it's easier in alignment if you just say, all right, Jalen's going to be on Demaryius, which keeps him outside, and then we can put some different combo coverages and stuff over on Sanders.
Those two guys have 61 and 60 catches, Sanders and Thomas respectively. Everybody else on the team has fewer than 20 receptions of the
year. Well, and I brought this up to Gus a little bit earlier. You know, we've seen a Gary Kubiak offense for many years. I mean, head coach of Houston Texans. He was the offensive coordinator under John Harbaugh in Baltimore. And the one thing that was always certain about his offense is that it was very, very – they had the tight end involved a ton. And the Denver Broncos have Virgil Green, A.J. Derby, and Jeff Hireman, and it's interesting – all three of the tight ends are listed at 6'5", 255. All three of them. But not one of them is an impact player in the passing game. I mean, for all those years of watching Texans play, and they had, you know, Owen Daniels and anybody else that, you know, I mean, it seemed like any tight end that played in a Gary Kubiak offense had success. It has not happened for the Denver Broncos this year with any of those tight ends, which is surprising, Tony.
How much is that, Jeff? Because, and I don't have the statistics right in front of me, but I've done two Denver games and watching them. They don't run the ball very well.
No, 3.6 yards a carry.
And I wonder how much that changes what Kubiak's like, you know, because he likes to run the ball and then run that naked and play action pass off of that. And when you're not running the ball well, it's harder to set it up.
Here's the numbers. Virgil Green has 18 catches, 211 yards. He's the leading tight end receiver. And then going down the list, Jeff Hireman has 2 catches for 48 yards. And then Derby, A.J. Derby, has 6 catches for 65 yards. So that's 26 catches amongst all three tight ends. And with Gary Kubiak offense now, you might have one tight end that has that many, and then another one that has probably another 20, 25 at this point.
Got to run that football a little bit more. They haven't been able to. C.J. Anderson's out. He's been out for a little while now, a meniscus injury, yeah, so Booker's the guy.
And C.J. Anderson's going to be eligible to come back at some point. He had a meniscus against the Texans, and that was mid-October or somewhere in there, and then so he's going to be eligible to come back maybe into the season or into the playoffs. So if they get in, that would be a big boost for their offense.
The stretch run for the
Booker's a nice player, though.
He's all right,
you know, but it's hard to tell, Jeff, because that offensive line's so bad. But watching him live, he has a little bit of juice and does a good job when he's given the opportunity.
Gus Bradley said in the Gus Bradley show tonight that they took a long look at him in the pre-draft assignments and all that this past year, and we'll see him firsthand on Sunday. Here, the stretch run for the Broncos is pretty daunting. Well, here this week, Titans next week on the road, and then they finish with the Patriots, the Chiefs, and the Raiders. Three in a row to wrap up the season. Doesn't get much tougher than that, guys, down the stretch.
No, that's a tough schedule.
You look at it, Jeff, this is a must-win for the Broncos. And it's one I guarantee you they circle to. All right, we'll get this one. Tennessee's, you know, playing good football, but they're expecting to beat the two AFC South teams because they know those last three are going to be very, very difficult. And where they sit right now in the playoff, they'd be out. I think they're the seventh team.
That's right.
And so they'd be out. They're outside looking in right now. And if they don't get a win this week, it really puts their playoff picture in peril.
Well, and they've got Kansas City. Well, they're two games back from Oakland, one game back from Kansas City. And they've got both of them to finish out the schedule. Yeah. You know, when the schedule makers come up with the schedule, I mean, even if you look at the Jaguars, if the Jaguars were in the race, you know, the Jaguars are finishing up with three consecutive division games. I mean, that's, you know, the schedule makers finally got it right.
It makes it fun,
man. To put meaningful division games at the end of the schedule. Now, I just wish that for the Jaguars, they would have meaningful games in the last three games.
It's been a while since that happened, for sure. We'll come back and get into Thursday night football and go around the National Football League and pick some games for Week 13. This week's game, the Jaguars-Broncos matchup, is brought to you by SunPass Prepaid Toll Program. Visit sunpass.com. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
The Jags Giving Sweepstakes presented by Den is back. Register to win an epic on-field experience at the Christmas Eve game against the Tennessee Titans, including four tickets to the game, reserved parking, pregame field passes, and more. To register, visit jaguars.com/jagsgiving. Entries accepted through December 4th. Jaguars Thursday, J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman. Tony Vaselli is at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis, Minnesota, where the Minnesota Vikings will welcome the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday Night Football. Tony has the call on Westwood One Radio. The Cowboys are the hottest team in football, 10 in a row, of course. The rookie sensations on the offensive side behind a great offensive line. The Vikings' defense is one of the best in the league right now. The offense, not so much. They lost some pieces early in the year, so.
Not so much?
Yeah, not so much.
You're being nice.
I'm being nice,
yeah, that's
just
good.
Like you
that's
were.
Good.
Yeah.
That's the way to do it, JP.
Baselli, what do you say about Dallas's chances on the road tonight? And the Vikings, do they have an opportunity to knock these guys off?
Oh, I think so. I think it's going to be a good football game, and I think the Vikings have a really good chance because of that defense. And it's going to be, you know, the Cowboys played the Ravens a few weeks ago and played against that defense, and it's a very similar test this week for them against the Vikings. But this is on the road in a very difficult place to play, and I'm really interested to see how they hold up against one of the better defenses and one of the best scoring defenses in the NFL. I think it's you got strength against strength, the Cowboys offense against this Viking defense, and then weakness against weakness, because the Cowboys defense, they're 10-1, but they're not very good. They get away with a lot because of how well the offense performs, controls the ball, doesn't turn it over. Dallas does not create anything on defense, and they give up a lot of yards. Last week on Thanksgiving against the Redskins, they gave up over 500 yards of offense, had no turnover, created no turnovers, and no sacks. First time in the history of the NFL defense has done that and found a way to win. That's just how good the offense is.
All right, so I got two questions for you, Tony. Number one, we just heard the horn blow in the background, and I've seen some shots of the new stadium, and they've got these big, giant Viking horns.
Yeah, the Dallar horns, is that what they call them?
In the corner of the end zone. Yeah. My question is, are they real horns?
I don't know. I haven't inspected them. I mean, I'm not really it's not like I'm OSHA going down there to inspect the quality of the horns and if they're up to horn standards, but I'll tell you what, they're loud.
I was just wondering, I mean, if somebody actually goes up there and blows into those horns to make them as loud as
I don't think so. I don't think you can make that much noise.
All right.
You know, one thing interesting about this – oh, go ahead. Ask your second question.
All right. My second question is the Minnesota Vikings –
are the worst offense in the National Football League. They also are the worst rushing offense in the National Football League. Are they that bad?
Yes. They don't have any really dynamic backs, and their offensive line is just not any good. I mean, they struggle. They struggle in run blocking and pass blocking, but they've had a ton of injuries. I mean, they've had – it's been a revolving door at that offensive line position, and now they're without their starting center, Joe Berger, who got a concussion last week on Thanksgiving, and so they got more backups playing, and they struggle individually, and they struggle as a unit. So they really get nothing going.
Who's playing left tackle for them tonight?
T.J. Cunningham.
Okay.
Oh, no, I'm T.J. Cunningham. T.J. Clemens, sorry. I was thinking of somebody else. T.J. Clemens. He's a third-year player out of Pittsburgh. Really is a right tackle, but because of the injuries to Khalil and then Jake Long, who came and was here for a couple weeks before he hurt his Achilles, T.J. Clemens gets the start over there. And he's an athletic guy. He's not terrible, but, boy, he just has some plays that you're – everything will be going pretty good, and then he'll just whiff and get Bradford hit right in the back.
All right, so give me your thoughts on Sam Bradford.
Well, Sam Bradford has gotten hit a lot, and what it's doing now, Jeff, is it's affecting him because even when the pressure's not there, I'm not saying he's seeing the rush, but I think the clock in his head's going off, so he's just taking the short routes. They do nothing that presses the ball down the field, and they need to change that. If they want to – there are some shot opportunities. They have some guys outside who have some talent. Laquan Treadwell, the rookie out of Ole Miss, is a big guy, deep threat guy. Stephon Diggs is a good player who was out last week. He's back in. He has some big play threat. But they got to call it, and when it's called, Sam Bradford's going to have to hang in there and take some shots to try to stretch his defense because if they just – they're not good enough to just take the underneath stuff consistently and maintain these long drives. Just too many mistakes happen, and they end up shooting themselves right in the foot.
Man, you got talent to blow that horn and continue to talk like that. The reason we ask a lot of questions, you know, we're so curious about the Vikings. I mean, they're the team that's coming here to Jacksonville next week.
Yes.
And, you know, look, the other thing the Minnesota Vikings had going on earlier this year, their offensive coordinator, Norv Turner, resigned. And it was kind of right around that time period where Mike Zimmer was losing his mind and criticizing the players and the offense, I mean, right out in public. And the impression, I mean, without knowing, you would think that Norv Turner just had enough of Mike Zimmer and said, I'm done. Tony, have you heard any of the real scoop on Norv Turner resigning?
No, nothing about that because the entire – story up here around coaching is the fact that Mike Zimmer won't be on the sidelines tonight. He had emergency eye surgery last night, a detached retina. And so he had surgery last night. He wanted to coach today. They talked him out of it, so their head coach is not going to be here. And not only that, Mike Zimmer is the guy who calls the defense. And so it'll be interesting to see how this defense responds and the players respond with their head coach and the guy who's really – at least defensively, the players have taken on his personality. He's that toughness, gritty guy. And so that's been the big story up here around coaching.
You know, I've heard of boxers getting detached retinas. You know, and I hope everything goes great with Mike Zimmer. I'm not trying to make light of it. But how do you get a detached retina as a coach? And, you know, I'm thinking, you know, when Mike Zimmer screams his eyes, you know, probably just start bugging out. A little too much screaming, maybe? Or,
I don't know, but we wish the best for him.
I hope everything goes forward. Well for him because I like the guy. He's a heck of a football coach.
By the way,
he's a good football coach.
According to Norse mythology, the Gjallarhorn was sounded to announce the arrival of the gods. That's why they blow it every game inside the dome there. So
I like it.
And they have a guest Gjallarhorn blower each game.
I can tell you one thing. If Mike Zimmer is not hearing the horn blow much, you know, while he's listening to the radio broadcast, things aren't going well for his football
team. Right.
If the horn is blowing a lot, it's a positive.
Let's get to week 13 picks. Let's start off with a week 11 results. We didn't pick in week 12 because we didn't have a Thursday night show. It was Thanksgiving. The results are in. JP was 8-5. Baselli was 8-5. Logaman 9-4 last week, so he got a game back. Baselli, a 6.06 win percentage. I'm at 559, Logaman at 550. So we're neck and neck for second place. Let's get to games in Week 13, starting, well, the Browns and Titans are off. So tonight, Cowboys-Vikings. Who you guys got?
I'm taking the Cowboys.
Me too.
I'm going to go with the Vikings, change it up a little bit. I think it's. I think this is a game that the Cowboys get tripped up a little bit.
Chiefs at Falcons.
Ooh, you know what?
I'll take the Falcons.
Yeah, I'm with you, JP. I'm taking the Falcons too. Tony, are you going to take the Falcons, or are you going to take the team that is number one in the National Football League in turnover differential, the Kansas City Chiefs?
I'm going to take the Chiefs.
A little separation.
So either
coming
I'm
going to spread.
Either it's going to be a big lead for me, or you guys are going to be right back in it.
Dolphins at the Ravens.
Ooh,
Dolphins for me.
Tony, I'll let you pick then.
I'm going to go Ravens.
Where's it at? What?
In Baltimore.
I'll take the Ravens.
Okay. Niners at the Bears. What a crap game that is.
I'll pick nobody.
So how do you really feel there, JP?
1-10 versus 2-9.
I'm taking the 49ers.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I will, too.
Oh, gosh.
Go ahead. Take the Bears, JP. Opportunity there for you.
I know. I need one. I'll do it. I'll take the Bears at home.
Okay.
Eagles at Bengals.
Bengals.
Eagles.
Okay. I'm going Bengals. Texans at Packers.
Packers. The way they played the other night, I'm taking.
Yeah, they might have found something, so I'm going to go with you there.
Yeah, I will too.
Okay. Rams at Patriots.
What are you laughing for?
Fisher didn't even know who the running backs were for the Patriots on the conference call.
No, how bad was that?
Unbelievable.
That was so bad.
Here's the thing. Okay, Jeff Fisher came out at his press conference and starts talking about a running back that's not even with the Patriots.
Right.
Okay. But these Los Angeles Rams press department actually put out some information and saying that he was actually talking about one of the guys on the roster that, like, has two carries on the season, and then the other instance he was talking about a wide receiver that wasn't a running back.
Yeah,
so they basically were trying to cover Jeff Fisher's mistakes.
Yeah, there's no covering that. That was embarrassing.
Yeah, so I guess we're
before
all
that, going I'm picking the Patriots.
Patriots.
Yeah, Patriots for all of us.
Just because of that.
Yeah, that's a good enough reason. Plus, the Patriots are the Patriots at home.
Wonder who Eric Dickerson's picking on that.
That's a great question. That's the other thing this week with the Rams. Lions at the Saints in the Dome, in the Superdome.
I'm taking the Saints.
I'm going Saints.
All the way for all of us.
Opportunity there for you, JP.
I'm taking the Saints, okay. Baby. Who that? Bills at Raiders.
That's
going to be a good football game.
Yeah, it is. I'm going to go with the hot Raiders at home. Black hole.
I'm taking the Bills.
I'll go Raiders.
Tony, okay. Redskins at the Cardinals.
Redskins.
Redskins for me, baby.
Yep, all of us. Giants at Steelers.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Me too.
I'm taking the Giants.
Okay, Buccaneers at Chargers.
Buccaneers have won 2 straight playing good football.
Who's that, the Bucks?
Yeah, the Bucks are. I'm going to go with the Chargers, though.
Okay. Red, JP. Who you got? I'm going with the Buccaneers on the road.
I'm taking the Bucks too.
Okay. And then Sunday night, Panthers at Seahawks.
Seahawks.
Seahawks
are not going to lose 2 in a row.
12th man. And then Monday night, Colts at Jets.
That's not a great game either, JP.
They're not as bad as the other one.
I read today. Did I read it correctly that Andrew Luck is still in the concussion protocol?
He still is.
He's
not playing, and I'm picking the Jets.
I'm taking the Jets because they're at home, right?
Yes.
Taking the Jets either way. Doesn't matter if Andrew Luck is playing.
All right, the picks are in. We'll see if either one of us can gain on Tony and his percentage season shortened.
May not happen. Tony, have a great call at the game tonight, and hopefully it's a really good game to watch because I will be on my couch with a bowl of ice cream and crushed pecans watching.
Well, if you like offensive line play, watch the Dallas Cowboys play on offense because it is fun to watch. Zach Martin, their right guard, is their best offensive lineman. He is really good.
Now, watching him last year, it's his, second year?
Right? Yes.
Okay, second year. Last year, he looked like, he was a good player. This year, he looks so much bigger than he was last year. Is that the case?
I don't know if it is, but watch it on tape. He is really good, Jeff. I mean, he is good in pass. run. He can move. He's athletic, good in space. He is a complete player. Now, we talk about that offensive line, and I'll be quick. I know we got to go to break. And the offensive line is really good. But let me tell you what makes them great. It's Ezekiel Elliott. Watching the Redskins game on that first drive, he had, I think, two 10-plus runs. There were unblocked, unaccounted-for linebackers that had free shots at him that he made miss. And so that's not offensive line play. That's running back play. That kid is special.
And he's got subtle moves.
That's right.
You know, I mean, going all the way back to and staying with the same football team, you know, playing against Emmitt Smith, he had little subtle moves that he would put you at a disadvantage, and he was so strong that he could run through people because they never got a solid shot on him. But his moves were just little subtle things. And watching Ezekiel Elliott, I'm not trying to say that they're in the same category because they're obviously different players, but it seems that he also has that in a little different fashion. He's got a little bit more game-breaking speed, but that subtle move to be able to find an opening.
All right, Tony, blow that Galler horn and skull Viking skull. Have a good one.
All right, guys.
Tony Buscelli, Westwood One, analyst for the Vikings and the Cowboys tonight on Thursday Night Football. We'll come back and wrap the show and discuss Broncos-Jaguars. Can the Jags get it done this week against the defending world champs? Game day is so much more enjoyable if you don't have to worry about finding a parking space, right? The JTA Game Day Express can park in one of their five convenient lots. Tickets start at $7. Use it this Sunday when you come to Everbank Field. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday continues right now.
Jaguars Thursday. Tony Buscelli's out of here. JP Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman will.
And your dad is listening.
This. Yeah, of course.
You know, Mr. Shadrick. I mean, I've got to tell you, since you're listening, the proper pronunciation of pecans is pecans.
Not pecans.
Not pecans.
I've never heard it the other
way. If Shad Khan were wanting to say the proper pronunciation, he would say that it's pecans. Right?
Yes.
But I just want to let Mr. Shadrick know it's pecan.
Well, I'm sure he's aware now. Since
pecan pie and pecans on ice cream.
So it's not something a truck driver uses?
No, it is not.
Okay.
Never heard of that tool.
Okay. Injury report for the Jags. Boy, is it long. If you're watching on Jaguars.com, look how long. 17 guys on the list this week. Well, the Jaguars, Jacksonville Jaguars. 17 on the list. A number of those you know are going to go. They're full in practice, including Blake Bortles and Dante Fowler and Linder and those kind of guys. Guys that have not practiced this week at all, Rashad Green, Alan Hearns with a hamstring injury, Chris Ivory with a hamstring injury, Jared Odrick and Julius Thomas. They haven't practiced Wednesday or Thursday. Unique Ngakoue was back limited today. That's good news. Coming off the ankle injury late in the game. T.J. Yeldon, well, he was limited today. That's good news.
Well, it's good news, but it's still very concerning about the running back position. I mean, Chris Ivory is not going to be able to go. I mean, you don't get a hamstring and not practice Wednesday, Thursday, and play on the weekend. I'd be surprised if he does. And so you're going to be left with T.J. Yeldon, who obviously wasn't anywhere near 100% last week.
No.
And so Denard Robinson is going to have to play a big role. Big role.
Yeah, not the ideal setup. It's too bad, too, right? Because Ivory was playing so well early in that game. They had something really cooking.
Well, look, you know, he put the ball on the carpet. Didn't lose it, but he put the ball on the carpet. But he was running with power, and, you know, he is definitely the most explosive back that the Jaguars have, the most physical back that they have. And, you know, to not have him, it hurts, you know. And right now when you've got, you know, an offense that passing game is not hitting on all cylinders. They've been turning the ball over, relying on that run game. It's kind of what you've been able to have to do, you know. And so hopefully, you know, Denard can get back to the form that he had last year where he had some 100-yard rushing games. You know, if he's going to be the guy to carry the load, I'd be surprised if TJ can carry the load with the ankle.
Peyton Thompson is limited this week. How about this? He got wrapped up with the chain gang on the sideline during a special teams coverage play. The guys didn't drop the stick and instead pulled it back and up. So he got twisted around in it and get twisted around his leg somehow.
Yeah, and I
don't know if I've heard of that one.
Tate Thompson's a pretty tough guy now.
Yeah.
You know, and he's a very valuable player for the Jaguars in the secondary. You know, a lot of people are, well, who's Peyton Thompson? Well, he plays safety, he plays corner, he can play anywhere.
He was a guy that played like three or four different positions in a game last year.
He's got a lot of value because he can do that. You know, and that's one thing, you know, going all the way back to 1989 when the New York Jets equipment manager, Bill Hampton Sr., who was a man that had much wisdom. One of the lines that he always used with us was, young man, the more you can do, the more you can do, the more valuable you are. And he used to tell us that, not because, you know, from a playing standpoint, he would actually tell us that because he wanted help folding towels in the laundry room, which I gladly helped do. You know, we folded towels, did laundry and everything else, but he would always tell that to everybody. And it was a great line because he always, you know, when he said it, you know, had meaning, had some depth because he'd been around the game for so long, going all the way back to the Joe Namath era, you know.
Wow. So there you have it. That's the main part of the Jaguars injury report. A few other guys, I don't know, Chris Smith has been full all week, coming off the eye injury.
Coming off the eye, and I know last week Gus made some comments about where, you know, when he was trying to physically strain or whatever, it would hurt the eye, and so it's good that he's back, and, you know, maybe he's needed. I mean, Ngakoue did practice on a limited basis, but if for some reason tomorrow it goes in the wrong direction, having him available, especially a week after you only had seven guys that were even active on the defensive front, that's good.
Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. The Jaguars are back home Sunday, a 1 o'clock kickoff at Everbank Field against the defending Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos. The Broncos at 7-4. Well, they're on the outside looking in now to the playoff picture. They need a lot of wins down the stretch to get this thing done. The Jags are trying to snap now, a six-game losing streak.
And trying to win a game within the last year. You know, the last win in Jacksonville was December 13th of last year against the Colts.
That's right. So
if you don't get this one, then next week the Vikings will be over a year.
I heard a note today, this afternoon, in fact. The last time the Jags beat a team that finished with a winning record? Think about that for a little bit.
Been a while.
2012 season, week 3, the Indianapolis Colts, Gabbert to Shorts, 80-yard touchdown.
Yeah, that was a great throw, by the way.
It was a great catch. Caught the back end of the
ball. Great throw, great catch.
But that's the last one against a team that finished with a winning record. That's the way it's gone around here. And that's got to change at some point for this franchise to move forward.
No, it's going to change.
And it's been close to change in the last few weeks. I mean, in these games. You know, they're right there.
I know that, you know, you were talking to Tony on Monday with Pete Prisco and Tony didn't lock it, you know, but Tony predicted a win against the Broncos. And you know what? It would not surprise me one bit if this football team went out and beat the Broncos. And not because Paxton Lynch may be the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. Now, if this defense and this football team last week in Buffalo, if they were able to get the two takeaways, you know, the Telvin Smith one, which was terrible by the officials.
Awful.
And then if Prince doesn't get the interference call, which was a good call, to where Gibson ended up intercepting that ball. I mean, if you end up plus two in a game and you're protecting the football as an offense and you're, you know, efficient and solid, you know, because last week, I mean, they threw for, 125 yards or whatever it was, something like that, which is not great.
No.
You know, but look, if you can play like that and you can play as well on defense as they've been playing, you know, without a couple explosive plays that, you know, they had the opportunities, they were right there to make them. I mean, this team's going to start winning, you know. And so I would not be surprised to see this football team beat the Denver Broncos. Not one bit.
You can see it yourself. Tickets available 633-2000 or visit Jaguars.com. Logs will see you at the bank this Sunday.
I'm looking forward to it, and I'm really looking forward to watching Von Miller in person because he is a supreme talent.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Jeff Lagerman for Tony Vaselli, Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato. I'm JP Shadrick. Thank you for listening. Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.